Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you again, and I am just so appreciative of your company. This morning, we're going to look again briefly at Acts 28, and I want you to download a structure which is Acts 28, 23 to 31, and the structure is number 19 on this link, www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm. It's a structure I prepared many, many years ago, but it's still helpful in seeing the real pivot point in the Acts 28 chapter. You know, we have lovingly referred to the book of Acts as the book of the Acts, A-X-E, and a pun on words, but it is to be true that we have been, I believe, terribly misguided by orthodoxy and tradition, which claims that Christ came to start a church in the Gospels, that Israel were cast aside at the cross or at Pentecost, and that the book of Acts is, in fact, a history of the early church. I won't spend too much time in this, but let me assure you that these things are as far from the truth as could possibly be imagined. That in fact the book of Acts is a further opportunity for the nation of Israel to believe in the one that they rejected and crucified. For those of you who would like to put an ice pack on the heart and on the mind, please go back and read Acts chapter 2. Where you will find that there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, and the Apostle Peter was preaching to, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural gift of language, he was preaching to the dispersed Israelites about the crucifixion of their Lord and Messiah. That is not the birthday of the church, Acts chapter 2. It is, in fact, a fulfillment of a feast given to the nation of Israel. If it was the fulfillment of a feast given to the nation of Israel, then I suspect Acts chapter 2 ought to have something to do with the nation of Israel, don't you? And that has been the first and foremost error in orthodoxy and modern Christianity. That Pentecost is the birthday of the church is in fact a beautiful and wonderful masterstroke of deception. However, having said that, what I want to do is get to Acts 28, because here at the end of the chapter, we have another apostle preaching to Jews. Isn't it amazing? In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2 and 3, Peter is preaching to Jews. And here we come at the end of the book of Acts, and here's another man preaching to Jews. Now you will remember that when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, which was written about Acts chapter 20, he had written to them in the opening chapter, Romans 1 verse 10, and he said, "Oh look, always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you at Rome." Now these are called saints. These are the called out saints in Rome he's writing to. And he wanted to come and visit them. You might also like to compare Romans 15, where he said in that chapter that after he'd paid homage to Jerusalem, he was hoping to come to Rome. Well, as you know, it wasn't such a prosperous journey, but he did get to Rome, didn't he? Now, in that journey in Acts chapter 28, there was a shipwreck, and you can read that in Acts chapter 27. And of course, they were on an island. I don't believe it was Malta, but nevertheless, they were on an island. And Paul was gathering sticks, and a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And of course, nothing happened to Paul. Now did it? Amazing thing, isn't it? Nothing happened to Paul. And of course, the people of the island were all waiting him to fall down dead But when that didn't happen, they thought he was a god. Now, in Acts 28, it's important to note, friends, that the sick of the island were healed, including Publius's father. And all on the island came and were healed. Oh, do you see? Even up till Acts 28, the miraculous were prevalent. You know, you will hear in Orthodox circles that, the supernatural gifts were only there to start the church, and then they faded away. And no, they did not, my friends, fade away at all. And you'll notice that these people who were healed were unbelieving Gentiles. They were, in fact, those who had shown mercy to a Jew, and were thus, through the powers, the credentials of Apostle Paul, were in fact healed. As God had said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Now then, the Apostle Paul, as we have seen in his Gospel in Acts 13, preached the promise made to the fathers. And when we come to Rome, we'll find that after three days, the Apostle Paul calls the chief of the Jews. Romans, Acts 28, 17. And they coming together, he said to them, Men, brothers, I did nothing against the people or customs of our fathers. I was delivered a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now, I want to assure you something, friends, very, very emphatically. This is Acts 28, verse 17. And if the Apostle Paul had indeed in any way whatsoever, had in any way hinted at or proclaimed any of the dispensational truths of Ephesians and Colossians, then he would have preached something against the people and the customs of Israel's fathers. It's very, very important. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks about a new creation from Jew and Gentile. He speaks about total dispensational equality. He talks about the fact that the middle wall of partition had been broken down. Oh dear, oh dear. Fancy telling the Jews that the temple had been broken down. And you don't think that would have offended them? We have to believe what Paul says, you see. We also need to note that the man is calling the chief of the Jews. Now, the brethren who were saved and were dwelling in Rome, they came to meet him. And we have no record in Acts 28 as to what he taught them. But Paul's thrust in the Acts period was to the Jews. I want to show you something. In Acts 13, we have already shared together the fact that Paul preached the gospel, the promise made to the fathers. And it's very, very brief. And when we come down later in the chapter, we know that the Jews were not receptive to the message in Acts 13. But some of the Gentiles were very, very receptive. Now then, the Jews, when they saw the multitudes at the second preaching of the message in Antioch of Pisidia, they got all envious, which is exactly what the Jews were being saved to do. Remember in Romans 11, provoke Israel to jealousy. You and I are not here to provoke Israel to jealousy today, are we? But Paul stood up to these Jews in Acts 13:46, and he said, speaking boldly, Paul and Barnabas said, it was necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first. But since indeed you put it far from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the nations, or the Gentiles. But this turning to the nations, as you know, in Acts 13:47, was only local, and it was according to prophecy. And if you look at Isaiah 49:6, you'll see that the prophecy is about the restoration of Israel. The Gentiles were saved according to prophecy which spoke of Israel's restoration. They weren't saved according to prophecy which spoke about the bringing in of something new. See the differences? It's so important, isn't it? Now then, now you know that the very next chapter, that whilst they turned to the Gentiles in Acts 13, when they got to Iconium, they went together into the synagogue of the Jews. Do you see? Going into the synagogue of the Jews. In Acts 17, Acts 14, verse 1. In Acts 17, verse 2, you'll note that according to Paul's custom, do you see? He went into them and reasoned with them out of the scriptures on three Sabbaths. During the Acts period, we have been told that Paul went to all the Gentiles preaching to them about Christ dying for sins and being raised. No, he didn't. No, if you look at the Acts period, Paul went to the Jews and he proclaimed Christ crucified as their Messiah. He went into synagogues. You follow the Acts period, and that's what the Acts period is about. As Romans 10:21 says, God through the prophet Isaiah says, all day long I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's what the Acts period is about. God holding his hand out to the nation of Israel. A couple of times Paul spoke to Gentiles independent of Jews. Now, here we are back at Acts 28. It's no difference, is it? Supernatural gifts, confirmation of the message, and Paul going to Jews. Now then, so he calls the chief of the Jews together in Acts 28, and in Acts 28 verse 23, yes, I'm getting that second cup of coffee down, and they, the chief of the Jews, having appointed him a day, many came to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded, testifying what? The kingdom of God, and persuading them the things concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Now what's Paul's gospel in Acts 28? What's the thrust of his ministry in Acts 28? Please don't tell me it's to all the Gentiles so that they might become into the church which is his body. No, do you see, Paul has called Jews and he's preaching to them the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening. That's Paul's ministry all the way through the Acts period. It's Jew first. And today, after Acts 28, it is not Jew first. Do you see? We must test things that are different, friends. We can't open the Bible and sort of treat it like a smorgasbord and go and take a piece of this and a piece of that and stand up and tell people that a chicken leg is a piece of ham. No. The Word of God has to be treated with respect. We ought to treat the Word of God with honour. And when we see things that are different, we're to acknowledge God who inspired it all. That he's telling us something that's different. So here in Acts 28, just like at the beginning when Peter stood up and preached to the Jews about Jesus of Nazareth and quoted the law of Moses and the prophets, that's what Paul's doing at the end of the book. Now, I want very briefly to show you. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa is the king of Israel, set up by the Romans. But anyway, Paul says, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made to our fathers by God. You know, friends, that's in the book of Acts. The hope is the promise made to Israel's fathers by God. Do you know today that our hope is not the promise made to Israel's fathers by God? Do you know that? Do you know that? Read Galatians. The faithful Jews and Gentiles were going to be blessed with faithful Abraham. Well, that's the book of Acts. We aren't blessed with faithful Abraham today. We're blessed with Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And Abraham didn't know a thing about it. I have to be brief here. Now then, in Acts 26, come down even further. Paul is talking about his conversion in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Now, you know, Paul tells King Agrippa in verse 19 that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But to those first in Damascus and Jerusalem and to all the country of Judea and then to the Gentiles, do you see, I made known the command to repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. Well, that gospel there is as fundamental a gospel as you can get anywhere. That doesn't mean that he was preaching the truths of Ephesians and Colossians, does it? Because look what he says. Having obtained help from God, I stand until this day witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said was going to happen. Well, let's come back to Acts 28 quickly then, and let's go back to that verse. And here it is. Acts 28:23, no change. You see, when Orthodoxy says that the Acts period is the beginning of a change, they've got it wrong, because there's no change in Paul from Acts 13, Acts 26, and Acts 28. Now, here is the crux of the matter. How did the Jews respond? Well, we know all the way through the book of Acts that some believed, just as in the Gospels, you know, if you read John 12, some Pharisees, some leaders of Israel believed in Christ, although they did not proclaim him publicly. And so there were always a few Jews that repented, and of course many Gentiles too. But obviously, the majority of Israelites did not repent. They did not turn back to Jesus of Nazareth and embrace him as their Messiah. And we come to Acts 28, verse 4. Some indeed believed, do you see? Some did believe the things that were said, and others did not believe. Now, we come to something completely different in Acts 28. And I want to show you this by looking at the structure on the chart. If you look at the structure, you'll find now that we are completely now in this structure. And part A, which is verse 23, speaks about Paul's ministry to the Jews, which is from the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. I'd have loved to have been there myself. Now you'll find that that's going to be balanced at the bottom of the chapter, but we're not going to race ahead. Part B of the structure, which again you can download from www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm, number 19, Part B speaks of belief and disbelief. There's this conflict of response. And God, my friends, in the case of Israel, didn't ask for them to sit down and theologically debate God's appeal to them. It's the same with Christians today, unfortunately. There is too much of this theological debate. Instead of searching and seeing what God has given us today. Instead of listening to the man that God sent to us, we want to listen to anybody else in the Bible but the Apostle Paul. Did you know that? Paul is given a secondary place, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts are given a primary place. Well, we've all got it back to front, friends. We've got it back to front. If you study the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to show you something, and I really want to go here to Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul says this. of this gospel about the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul was made a minister. Notice something was given to Paul. He's either a megalomaniac, an egotist, or he's telling you and me the truth. That God gave Paul something for us Gentiles today. And notice, it's to saints. This grace is given to me who am less than the least of all saints, Ephesians 3, verse 8, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the Gentiles. And that is not the gospel of Christ according to the law of Moses and the prophets, which he preached to the Jews in Acts 28. And through Paul alone, Ephesians 3, 9, it says, and to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things. If you want to understand the mystery which was hidden in God, don't turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't find it. And don't turn to the book of Acts either. You won't find it. But let's go back to Acts 28. Now, we have verse of the structure. We have part B of the structure in Acts 28, 24, and 25. We have this division of response in Israel. This division of response. And the consequence of that division of response is so important as to be widely unknown in the Christian community. And I'm telling you something. This is important. Our room is called Acts 28. And so I thought it might be wise at least for us to look at Acts 28 this morning. And disagreeing with one another, they were let go. The Jews were disagreeing with each other, and what? They were let go. It doesn't mean they departed out of Paul's lodgings and said, thanks very much. They were let go. How was the nation of Israel let go? They were let go when Paul announced for the last time in the New Testament record, chronologically, for the last time, he pronounced Isaiah chapter 6, which is a judgmental prophecy against the nation. Do you see, Paul preached to them about from the law of Moses and the prophets, and they did not respond. Now a judgment is to be uttered in on the nation of Israel at the end of the book of Acts. This is where the nation of Israel was put aside, not at the cross or Acts chapter 2. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian really believed Romans 11, 1 and 2, when God, written by Paul in the Acts period, when Paul plainly says that Israel have not been cast aside. Well, if the Apostle Paul is inspired to say that Israel had not been cast aside when he wrote Romans, which was about Acts chapter 20, then what right has any denomination or Christian community to say that Israel was cast aside at the cross or at Acts chapter 2? It's not only a contradiction of the Word of God, it's an absolute monumental confusion for believers. I cannot say this strongly enough. Look, I'd love to quote you a verse from my old Salvation Army Bible. Is that okay? Would you mind if I quoted you a verse from my old Salvation Army? Now, you know I get a little bit facetious at times, and I hope you don't mind that in me. But I'll see if I can find it. Now, give me a second, and I knew I shouldn't have done this. Oh, well. The Apostle Paul in my Salvation Army Bible says this, "For the time is coming when the other denominations will not endure sound doctrine." Do you ever have a Bible like that? I was so convinced that I was right in the Salvation Army that obviously everyone else was wrong. Have you ever thought like that? Friends, it came as a blow to me that I discovered that actually I was the one that had been deceived and confused. That was a bit of a lowering of the arrogance, wasn't it? And praise God, he dealt with me kindly and graciously. Let me assure you, everybody, and I want to tell you right now, that you can pray for God to bind Satan all you like, but Satan's masterstrokes of deception are so embedded in the Christian community that it's already working its poison. And the poison is that Israel were cast aside in the Gospels or the Acts period. And it's so widely embraced, we all take poison practically every weekend when we go to church. I'm not saying Christians are not saved. Not what I'm saying. Anyone who's put their faith in Christ and has trusted in him has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and praise God for it. But so far as the truth for today is concerned, we're all singing about, you know, the kingdom in our hearts and going to Beulah Land and going to the New Jerusalem, and we are absolutely destitute of knowing the real hope for us today. Now, I can't go into those things, but I want to show you, coming back to Acts 28, friends, that indeed, this is when Israel were put aside. And if you can appreciate this morning, then other pieces will fall together for you in time. So let's go back to Acts 28, 24 and 25. Here it is. The nation of Israel, the Jews, not just the few in Rome, were let go. And I have mentioned before that this verb let go, you know, the first occurrence of this verb let go, and I don't apologize for repeating this to the ones who already know it, but it comes in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1. And Joseph, a devout man, an honorable man, you see, and not willing to make Mary a public example because she was pregnant, remember, he purposed to divorce her secretly, put her away. And that is exactly the word in Acts 28. And if you want to know this morning, friends, when Israel was put away, then here it is. You can't get it any plainer. Acts 28, 24. Israel was put away. And they were put away under a judgmental prophecy, Isaiah chapter 6. And here's the verses. Go to this people, you see, and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. That's exactly what had happened to these dispersed Jews in Rome. They heard, they saw, they knew the Old Testament scriptures, and they had a divided, disagreeing response. Look at verse 27 of Acts 28. For the heart of this people was fattened, and they have heard with their ears dully, and they closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be what? Converted. And I should what? Heal them. The word for heal means to save. The nation of Israel, all they had to do was turn back to Christ and believe in him as their Messiah. And all that forgiveness and all that wonderful restoration that Peter spoke about in Acts chapter 3 would have taken place. But finally, God's patience with this nation expires. And they are put aside as an unfaithful woman, who can be in future restored. In the future, all the events of the Acts period will take place. But now God has introduced through the apostles something new and completely different and unknown in the Old Testament, unknown in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and unknown in the book of Acts. And I'm not talking about Christ dying for sins. I'm talking about a set of conditions, a dispensation that God brought in through Paul. And if you haven't studied Paul, friends, at this point in your life, then may you please begin May you please begin to study that apostle and discover that 7 of his letters were written in the Acts period, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, and Romans. And in those epistles, you're going to find something like this. I'm only going to give you one example, so I hope you don't mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "The time is short, brothers. It remains that both those who have wives should be as not having one." Did you hear that? The time is short. Do you see? Now, up at the top of the chapter, didn't he say that he wanted all men to be single? Didn't he say that? Well, that makes the Christian community a bit of a failure because most of us are married. Now, can you see the difference? That's one of the letters written during the Acts period. Now I want to show you one, just briefly, one in the post-Acts letters. Just one. And he's writing to Timothy after Israel have been set aside, and he says, look, at 1 Timothy 5:14, "Therefore I want the younger widows to marry, to bear children, to guide the house," etc., etc. Well, isn't that strange? In the Acts period, he didn't want anyone to marry, and he certainly didn't want people to be pregnant. After Acts 28, he wants people to marry. Do you see? Right division is not, you know, the great trap of the hyper-dispensationalists. Right division is an instruction from God, and if we disobey it, we're going to stand up in that day, and let me tell you, friends, we're going to be somewhat ashamed if we say to Christ, "Oh, I didn't practice right division because it was all them hyper-dispensationalists." That's an invention, by the way, hyper-dispensationalism. You won't find it in the Bible, but you'll find it out of the pulpit any Sunday. I'm very, very thankful that someone taught me about the principle of right division. Let's go back to Acts 28. And now what we're finding is that Paul has announced this great judgmental prophecy against the nation of Israel. So there you go, it is, Acts 28:27. "For the heart of this people was fattened, and their head with their ears dully, and their eyes have they closed," etc., etc. Now, in verse 28, we want to see something that is completely different. Verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, be it known to you that the salvation of God is sent to the nations, and they will hear it." Now, can you look at your chart, please? Do you see? In the structure, you'll see part D. I'm going to type it in for you. You're going to see part D. See the contrast. In Acts 28, Israel have received a judgmental prophecy. And God says they won't hear, according to Isaiah chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10, you can look it up. But the part D, the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. See the difference? And you tell me, friends, what is in existence today? Did you know that predominantly the faithful are Gentiles? Oh yes, some Jews are saved, praise God for that. But predominantly, after Acts 28, it's mostly Gentiles. Whereas in the Acts period and the Gospels, it was God dealing with the Jews. Do you see the change? Come on, friends. That change took place at Acts 28. So if you look at your chart, compare C, D, and compare C and D, and notice the word was sent to Israel and they didn't hear, and the word of the salvation of God has now been sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. And I tell you what, when God says someone's going to hear it, that's exactly what's going to happen, and praise his name. The Gentiles all around the world are hearing the word of truth, aren't they? Now, not a lot of them understand dispensational truth, but they are here in the salvation of God, and many of them are praying and praising God because they're going to heaven, which is only the truth after Acts 28. Because before Acts 28, friends, they weren't going to heaven at all. Before Acts 28, they were going to be blessed with faithful Abraham on the earth. So at least they've got the direction right. Now in Acts 28, verse 29, and having said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning or much discussion amongst themselves. And let me tell you, friends, that in the Jewish community today, there is lots of discussion, but not a lot of light. Ain't that the truth? A lot of Jewish discussion, but not a lot of light. And why? Because those whom God has put aside are set aside. And I want to show you that Acts 28 is a wonderful reversal. Do you know in Genesis chapter 10 and 11, I took this off the top of my head, so I hope I can find it. In Genesis chapter 10 verse 32, that the Gentile nations were divided in the earth after the flood. All mankind was separated into nations, 70 of which. And there was, of course, one language and one speech, wasn't there? One language and one speech. Now, there was Babel and the confusion of tongues, correct? But God, at Genesis chapter 12, he started to deal with one man. And so from Genesis chapter 12, do you see? All the way to Acts 28, God had been dealing with this one man and his descendants. How much light did the Gentiles have? Not very much, because what? God had given them up, as Romans chapter 1 tells us. Do you see? Now at Acts 28, it's a reversal. The ones who had been God's called out company, the nation of Israel, God's now put them aside at Acts 28, and he's reaching out to the very ones who previously had been put aside. But the ones who had previously been put aside, the Gentile nations, he doesn't teach them about the things that specifically relate to Abraham and his seed. No, he gives them a unique message, which goes back before the foundation of the world, which God had hidden in himself. But let me go back to Acts 28. I just wanted to bring that to you for a consideration in this review of this incredibly important chapter of the book of Acts. That at the book of Acts, chapter 28, it was then that God cast Israel aside. We've sure got it back to front in our traditions, haven't we? And let me tell you, I repeat, Satan is very, very smart. He isn't going to come along and try and confuse Christians today. He's already got them confused. Do you see? He started 2,000 years ago. Do you know how he started 2,000 years ago? Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. 2,000 years ago, the Christian community, what did they do? They turned away from the Apostle Paul. Right at the beginning of the church, which is his body history, i.e. after Acts 28, there was a turning away from Paul and the message given for us exclusively today, and that's why we have more denominations than you can count before breakfast. There's an ecumenical movement possible. Did you know that? There's an ecumenical movement possible if all the churches started emphasizing Paul. But until they continue to put the Gospels first and Paul last, there's never going to be a harmony of understanding. That's why there's confusion today, because in the beginning, the Christian community turned away from the only one who was given the truth for today. Back to Acts 28. And that was, by the way, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. All in Asia had turned away from Paul, and Asia included the Ephesians and the Colossians. Think about that. The very groups to whom he had written the glorious and amazing truths of the present dispensation of the grace of God. So where did I get to? Let's go to Acts 28 again and pick it up from verse 30. And Paul remained in his own hired house, and he welcomed all who came to him, into him. Verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ without hindrance. No man forbidding him. I'll tell you what, friends, the word without hindrance only occurs here, but it is a word built upon a word that you will find, and I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 10 just to give you a little look of this word, the base word, okay, the base word, and it's found in verse 47. And Peter, of course, in front of Cornelius is saying, can anyone forbid water that these who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we should not be baptized? And no, I'm not going to talk about water baptism and Peter's gospel to Cornelius. That's forbidding. That's what it is. No man forbade Paul what he was doing. I want to come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, a very important verse, verse 16. Now, in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul is writing to the believers there and saying, brothers, you became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea. Isn't it interesting that Judea is still put up as the example, i.e. the churches back in Israel? For you also have suffered these things by your own countrymen, even as they also by the Jews. See the Jews, what the Jews have been doing in the Acts period? They are not listening. They are not repenting. They are not accepting the messengers of God, despite the supernatural credentials. They are doing no more than the Jews of the old did, murdering the prophets and rejecting the word. And they did the same thing in the Gospels. Do you see? Jews in the past rejected the message. Jews in the Gospels rejected the message. Jews during the Acts period rejected the message. In the Old Testament from Genesis 12, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I include John, and the book of Acts, it's God holding out his hands to Israel, not starting anything new. Verse 16, forbidding us, here's the word, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. This is very important. You see, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that the very act of the Jews who were forbidding or preventing the word to go to Gentiles, they actually filled up their sins. And at Acts 28, that nation was put aside. Now let's come back to Acts 28. If the nation's been put aside, now have a read of verse 31. If the nation's been put aside and set aside totally by God until a future restoration date, notice that there is now no hindrance, no one forbidding. See the change? I hope you do this morning. I hope that's just a little something to encourage you, each and every one. Now let's have a look at the chart as we conclude this lesson. I know I've left out a lot, and I know, friends, that it might be necessary to have another look at Acts 28 sometime in the future. But here is our structure and our chart. Remember, you can find it on www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm, and it's number 19. Thank you. That was It's there, plus some other charts you will find helpful. So now, if you have that structure before you, let's have a look at it. The great Acts 28 cutting off. Here is the axe falling, A-X-E, on the nation. A day, structure A. Do you see it at the top? A day was appointed. And that is balanced at the bottom by two whole years. There's a time. Remember in Titus, a word that is unique to its season. You know, a dispensation, friends, is not important as to time. But it is has a unique time, doesn't it? It's what's in the message that's important. Now, verse A, of set A of our structure, you'll notice that it's the law of Moses, the prophets, from morning till evening. Down the bottom, do you notice in the corresponding bottoms A that there's no reference to the law of Moses and the prophets? Did you notice that? You must notice that, friends, mustn't you? And here's the chapter of 2 Timothy, which I like so much. It is a wonderful thing. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, look, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. After Acts 28, the ministry for us today is really identified with Paul the prisoner. But be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, praise God for that, but which was given us in Christ Jesus, what? Before the eternal times. Before prophecy, before Moses, do you see? Verse 10 of 2 Timothy 1, but now having been made manifested by the appearing. You see, friends, Christ appeared to Paul after Acts 28. This isn't the Gospels. No, so coming back to Acts 28, isn't it a wonderful thing to see that while Luke, writing Acts, does not expound the message that Paul is giving at the end of the chapter, we see by the words the Holy Ghost has used that there is an absence of the law of Moses and the prophets. Now, part B of our chart. Do you see the two parts B? You have in verse 24 and 25a, the belief and the disbelief and the separation, the setting aside, the letting go. Part B down the bottom, you have a correspondence. After Acts 28, after the prophetic announcement of Isaiah 6, you have in verse 29, the Jews departing, different word in the Greek, by the way, they went away and great discussion among themselves. Some believed and some did believe not in Acts 28:25. Do you see? They were disagreeing with one another in 24 and 25. And in part B, they were discussing, constantly discussing. You see, friends, discussing things is not what God wants. There's got to be a time in your life and mine when I stand up and say, yes, God has given to me, through the Apostle Paul, a set of conditions that I should know about. And I can't go into theological debating rooms and spend my time arguing about it. There came a time in my life when I said, right, Acts is not the beginning of the church. I've got to study. And it was perspiration time for me, friends. And praise God. My God and yours will honor the hard work that you do. I am a testimony to it. Don't expect things to be handed on a platter to you. They weren't handed on a platter to me. But I bet there's many in this room as well today and listening to this audio who will testify that God will honor hard work. And he will, if we hunger and seek, we will receive the answers. And therefore I say to you, be patient and study. Be diligent to show yourselves and myself, approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Coming back to our chart, you see structures section C and C. The word of the Holy Ghost unto our fathers is verse 25b and 26a. Now that is balanced after the judgmental announcement of Isaiah 6 with section C, which says the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles. On the top side, on the past of Isaiah 6 announcement, the word of the Holy Ghost unto Israel's fathers, the law of Moses and the prophets. On the other side of the prophecy, the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles without the law of Moses and the prophets. See the differences? Praise God, I'm glad that you do. And to conclude, we come to sections D and D. Israel, that Isaiah 6 judgment, they hear but do not understand, Acts 28, 26 to 27. They see but do not perceive. Their hearts are fat, their ears are dull, their eyes are closed. Do you see the countering structure? And all of that means this people were not saved. As a nation, individuals were, but as a nation, they were not restored. Remember that great question of the apostles in Acts 1:6? Wilt thou at this right time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Well, now, here is the answer to the question. It's been postponed because they would not listen and repent and believe in him. Do you see? Isn't the Word of God an amazing book? The answer, the reason why the Lord spoke that way in Acts 1 is now cleared to us in Acts 28, and praise God we see it. Now, the final part D is verse 28b, the Gentiles will hear it. And praise God, friends, today, from the times of the Reformation, there has been a resurgence of interest in the Apostle Paul. And by the grace of God, many Christians are not only have exercised their faith into Christ, but they are also beginning to see the glorious dispensation of the grace of God, which is the salvation package sent to the world through Paul. And I pray that each of you, through this lesson, will know a little more of it and will be inspired and motivated to study it out and search and see if these things are so. Bless you, each and every one. Father, we thank you for today, your kindness and your goodness to us. And we thank you for the word which we love so much, which is so pure and beautiful and majestic. And we ask, Father, that you'll accept our thanks and praise for it, and may we continue to honour it and indeed put it above our own name. Thank you for each and every member in this Pal Talk room and the ones listening to the audio. May they, Father, search and see, may they indeed rejoice in these unsearchable riches that Moses and the law and the prophets never knew about. We bring these requests and blessings to you through Christ our Lord. Amen.